Let's go ahead and open up the Word of God to John chapter 11, and we'll take our time there. John chapter 11, I'll tell you, this is actually a lesson that I briefly shared with the children over there a couple weeks ago, and it's been on my heart very recently. And I'll tell you, John chapter 12, and I remember, you know, as I'm teaching the children, you know, I always try to get the Gospels, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, as we try to say that on Wednesday night. And I'll tell you, I think we are getting that very good and thankful for the time. But if you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 11, and we'll read a very couple verses. But before we do, let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, Heavenly Father, just thank for this day and just thank for this time. Lord, we're able to open up your word. And Lord, I pray that you just speak to our hearts. And Lord, I pray that you just be with those who are watching on the live stream. And Lord, just thank for this avenue, Lord, that we're able to have with the live stream. And Lord, I pray that you just be with us here. And Lord, just speak to our hearts. Lord, just help us, Lord, to leave different than we came in. And Lord, just help us, Lord, to press on for you. And Lord, just thank you for this day. And just thank you for your love. Just thank you for the weather. And Lord, just help us, Lord, in this time as we open up your word. And Lord, just help me, Lord, as I preach from the word. Lord, we love you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So hopefully everybody's there to John chapter 11, and we'll read a couple of verses here. But before we do, you know, I remember sometimes, even when I was little, you know, I went into grocery stores, you know, with my mom, and I always wanted this, or always, I hope my mom would give me this candy bar, or I hope mom would give me, you know, this box of Krispy Kreme donuts at Walmart. You know, always have to input Krispy Kreme. But as we see here, you know, sometimes, you know, you go into a grocery store, I hope I have that, or I hope I have this, or, you know, sometimes, you look at this, you know, car dealership, and sometimes, you know, oh, I hope I have that. But as we, you know, as we think about hope, you know, it can be defined as, you know, the feeling that what is wanted, you know, can be had, or events will turn out for the best. You know, it's hope is something that we all want. You know, it's something that we all, you know, something sometimes we need. You know, hope is, you know, a powerful thing. You know, of course, you know, hope in the Lord. You know, as we see here in John chapter 11, we can take a look in this account, in this passage, even throughout all the Bible, and we can see this is one of the greatest hopeless situations. This is one of the greatest hopeless cases in the Bible. And we can see how amazing, you know, anybody could be looking as we, you know, many of us have read John chapter 11 about Lazarus, and anyone could be looking on the death of Lazarus. You know, we can conclude that, you know, he was dead. And, you know, those people that was there, Mary and Martha, could probably said, hey, there's no hope. There's no hope at all that, hey, Lazarus will be risen again. But even in the faceless of a hopeless situation, or a hopeless cause, you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ. Now he demonstrates what his power. He demonstrates his hand. Now his power as to step into any situation and transform it into a time of blessing, or a time of, you know, of true blessing from, you know, the Lord. But as we take a look at this account, you know, notice a couple of things. But let's notice in verse 1 of John chapter 11, in verse 1 it says, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother was Lazarus, was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. And thereafter that he saith, he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. And his disciples saying to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? In verse 9, Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. And notice verse 11. These things said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. And as we see here, you know, we see this hopeless situation as we, you know, as we bring up to the climax, or as we bring up, as we take a look through this passage here, you know, we can, you know, see here what we realize, what Lazarus is sick. Now, even in verse 1, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And as we see here, Jesus heard that his friend Lazarus, you know, was sick. And that means what? When we think about sick, you know, sometimes, you know, when I was over at the kids, sometimes, you know, maybe a runny nose, or, you know, I don't go too in detail about runny nose, or maybe an ear infection, or something that, you know, you just don't feel like you're 100%. You know, as we see here, as we take a look at that word sick, it means, you know, weak. It means disease. It means totally lacking in strength. You know, have we ever been to a point in which we can say we lacked strength, or we don't have enough strength to do this, or enough strength to do that? And as we see here, you know, as Mary and Martha, you know, the sisters of Lazarus, you know, they're concerned about their brother. And so that they send, you know, they say, hey, Jesus, can you come, please, and heal Lazarus? And as we see here, notice in verse 2, and it says, and it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother was Lazarus was sick. In verse 3, therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And you think about, you know, I remember a lot of times, you know, when I was going through, you know, with my dad about cancer, and you know, he wasn't feeling his 100%. Now, notice, you know, he started with a small stomach pain, and then it gradually grew into he needed to go to the hospital, and then, you know, gradually grew that unfortunately he passed away because of cancer. But as we see here, you know, you think, you know, in this case, you know, of, you know, hey, Lazarus, he's totally, you know, weak. He's totally diseased. He can't, you know, his strength is lacking, and he doesn't have anything left. But as we see here, we can notice, you know, look at verse 4 and 5, and it says, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. You know, there's two things, as we even see here, you know, their request made, you know, a lot on how they viewed the Lord. And as we see here, you know, of course, you know, number one, they noticed his compassion. No, they noticed, they believed that what he cared for their family, they knew that, hey, Jesus cared for Lazarus, and that he'll care, you know, for his soul. And so as we see here, you know, even in this time of need, or even in times in which, you know, hey, we may be in a hopeless situation, you know what? The Lord is there. Now, even when we think about what everything is happening, even when we go outside of those doors in this church house, as we're faced with so many things, and as we're faced with everything about life, you know what? The Lord is there to help us with every step that we take. You know, they notice, of course, his compassion, but also, you know, his deity. You know, also, look in verse 27. It says, she said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which shall come into, what, the world. Now, as we see, Martha declares that she believes what Jesus is the Son of God. And these sisters had, you know, probably seen, you know, Jesus healed, you know, many, many people. They probably seen Jesus healed so many people. And they seen, and now they're looking to him, and as the Son of God, to come and heal, you know, ultimately their brother Lazarus. And, you know, as you know, that same request as Mary and Martha made, you know, can literally speak to us as well. You know, of course, you know, their requests remind us, reminds us that Jesus Christ is to be the first resort of any time of trouble. So many times, we go throughout life's trials and even storms, and I encourage you, if you haven't heard the message last week, I encourage you to listen to it, about the difficulties, about the storms in life. And even when we face a time of trouble, even when we face a time of a storm or a battle that we may have, you know what? He is there with us. He is there that we can trust him. And when we do, we have to have faith in him. And you know what? He will be able to do what we ask him. In Matthew 21:22, you don't have to turn there, and it says, "In all things whatsoever ye ask in what prayer," what's the next couple words? "Believing, ye shall receive." Now, notice with me, of course, let's go back to verse 4, and it says, "When Jesus heard that he said, 'This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby.' Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. And thereafter he said unto his disciples, 'Let us go into Judea again.' His disciples say unto him, 'Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again?'" And notice the last two verses. And it says, "Jesus answered, 'Are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him.'" Now, as we see here, when Jesus heard the urgent request, and, as we, think about Mary and Martha, they're so concerned about Lazarus. And, I can't imagine, if it was, if I was in their shoes, and if it was my brother or even my sister, that was dealing with this sickness, what things will come into mind, and what things will come into, arise. And as we see here, he reacts. Jesus reacts in a surprising way. And as we see here, he reacts in a surprising way. Instead of walking, where he probably was at, instead of walking up and walking 5 miles to go to Lazarus and just pretty much heal him, Jesus stays there in the same place for, 2 more days? And it's like, imagine, you're Mary and Martha, and Jesus is staying there 2 more days, and it'll be hard. It'll be hard for me, even, if I was in that case. And as we see here, he tells his disciples, even in verse 4, and it says, "When Jesus had heard that, he said, 'This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be," what, "glorified thereby.'" We think about it, could Jesus heal Lazarus right there? Where he was. He could have simply spoke. It's like, I remember a couple of weeks ago, I was teaching the kids about when Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee. And, as the storm, brew, and as the disciples were starting to get scared for even their lives, and as Jesus was sitting there sleeping, on that boat, I can imagine, I encourage the kids, imagine being there on that boat as you see the waves, and as you're even, you're one of the disciples, you've seen his healings, you've seen, him preaching, you see everything that Jesus had done, and even when Jesus was sitting there on that boat, what happened? They lacked faith. And, Jesus simply, says, I don't know if he yelled it, I don't know if he spoke it very softly, but it says, "Peace, be still." And it's amazing how the Lord, in that case, in that, situation, in that storm of life that the apostles were going through, even in this encounter, in this passage here, has even if Jesus could have just simply spoke, "Lazarus, be healed." And you know what? He would have been healed right there. But, of course, he could have. But, he can even spoken anywhere. And you know what? Lazarus could have been healed. But he didn't. As, Jesus Jesus remained where he was. And, you know, he did not heal Lazarus at that time, but he will. But because he actually wanted Lazarus, you know, to die. And you think about, why does he want Lazarus to die? And as we see here, he waited until Lazarus was dead because, you know what? God will get the greater glory in it. Now, God will get the greater glory from what? The resurrection, as Jesus came and as he healed Lazarus, that he would, you know, from him, you know, being healed. You know, of course, you know, regardless of what delay that, you know, the Lord may even had, you know, with Mary and Martha, they were forced to watch Lazarus. You know, I can't imagine the day that, you know, those days, you know, just seeing him sick, just seeing him, you know, lacking strength. You know, they had to watch him die. You know, they were forced to, you know, get everything ready. And, you know, you think about preparing for, you know, a burial of someone. And I can't, you know, I think a lot about my father. You know, of course, I didn't have a lot of details into getting everything ready, but I just can't imagine what all goes into even thinking about, you know, putting your loved one in the grave. And as we see here, as Mary and Martha experience that, and sometimes it's hard for them, you know, sometimes it's hard for us when we go through an encounter, when we think, why God is doing this to us, or why, you know, Jesus, why are you not here? You know, why'd you wait 2 more days? And as we see here, you know, sometimes, you know, we just need to trust the Lord. You know, God knows, you know, oh, this is so incredible. God knows more about our situations in life than we do. And, you know, I always think about a verse in Proverbs 15:3. And, you know, I remember, you know, teaching some of the kids, you know, when we get to a part where we look at our eyes, I always, you know, point at our eyes. And, you know, the verse says in Proverbs 15:3, and it says, the eyes, what, of the Lord are in every place, beholding what, the evil and the good. And it's so true that, you know, he's there, you know, when we're here. He's there when we go home. He's there even when we're sleeping. No, he's there even when we're in our car and while we're driving. Though, even if we get stuck on the side of the road, he's there. You know, if we fall down, if we fall down a little bank because of the snow, you know what? He's there. And, you know, even another verse in Hebrews 4, chapter 4, verse 13, it says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And countless times, our duty and our task, is to simply trust him. And sometimes that is hard to do. And, you know, even when we cannot figure out why he's doing this or why he's playing this out in our lives, we can totally trust him. He will work out everything, according, to his plan that he has. But notice with me in verse 11, it says, these things said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. And then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. You know, as we see here, Jesus, because Jesus waited ultimately, Lazarus died. And as we see here, as when we think about even in Martha and Mary's case and in this situation, in this what we will call a hopeless situation, you know what? It came, from bad to worse. The situation became from, desperate to an impossible situation, into their minds. Now, as we see here, Lazarus is dead. And, of course, Jesus could have simply raised him up. He could have simply stopped this sickness. But as we see here, even look with me in verse 21. And it says, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Look at this. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. You know, there's, you know, a little, you know, a lot of times in life, even, you know, I remember just as Pastor Aaron, you know, preached us a couple of times, even about the hindrance of doubt. You know, as we see here, you know, imagine the discouragement that they may have on their face, or, you know, they may even feel defeated that Lazarus is dead, or, you know, the distress that they had. And when they did talk, you know, Jesus face to face, and as they talked to him, and as they brought, you know, this, you know, problem up to him, you know, as we see here, even verse 21, you say, hey, if you would have been here sooner, Lord, you know what? Lazarus wouldn't be dead right now. Now, we wouldn't have to go through all this mourning. We wouldn't have to go through all this suffering. But look, and, you know, even in verse 21, hey, if you would have been here, you know what? He would still be here. And we think about so many times when we, you know, we even have a loved one, or you know, sometimes I even, you know, I think about my dad a lot. And so many times, you know, we can even think, you know, hey, if Lord, if he would have answered this prayer, you know what, he would be healed from this cancer. You know, hey, if he would have done this, you know what, he could have been better. But you know what, it's a matter of trusting him, because everything, you know, it goes according to his plan. You know, whether if he had cancer, or whether, you know, if Lazarus died, you know, the Lord ultimately has a purpose and plan for everything. And notice with me in verse 26, and it says, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Now, as we see here, you know, there's a promise of what? Deliverance. Now, as we see here, Jesus goes, you know, on the promise of Martha that every person who, what, places true faith in him, you know, would never, you know, experience, you know, not physical death. I mean, of course, you know, everybody will, you know, eventually go through physical death, but there's also, a, you know, that other death that we also go through is that spiritual death. You know, it means that, you know what, hey, as the Bible refers to this as the second death, you know, it means that when believers lay down our fleshly, our mortal bodies, you know, hey, we leave all that pain. We leave all that sorrow that we deal with. You know, we leave all that suffering. You know, we'll go to what? Heaven. That what? There's no more tears. You know, it's a land of peace. It's a land of love. It's a land of joy. And as we can be with the very presence of God. And what amazing just to be there with Christ. And as we see here, you know, even, you know, look with me in verse 25, and it says, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And then verse 26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Now, as he, you know, stresses, and as he poses the question to, you know, even Mary and Martha, you know, believest thou this? No, Jesus is, you know, telling that, hey, Jesus is telling that Martha that faith in him translates, you know, into a believer seeing and experiencing great things, you know, in this life. You know, always, you know, the greatest illustration, you know, when I think about faith, or even when I'm going through something as well, you know, think about faith. You know, one of the greatest things that when I was interning, the pastor there, a very good acrostic, you know, forsaking all, I trust him. And you think about that, you know, I think about that a lot because, you know, it's a matter of keeping him first, a matter of keeping him, you know, number one. It's a matter of keeping him. And you know what? When we keep him, we see everything, you know, will go according to his plan. And as we see here, no, the Lord has always been able to walk in our hopeless cases, our hopeless situations. When we think that, you know, even, you know, a couple weeks ago, you know, even when, you know, when Paul was dealing with the shipwreck and all the people in that boat was thinking that all hope was gone. When they think that there's nothing left that they can do. But you know what Paul pointed them to? Paul pointed them to Christ. You know what? There's promises throughout the Bible, and we won't take time. There's promises about sin. There's promises about, you know, the future. There's promises about trouble. There's promises about loneliness and peace and even our needs, and even about prayer, as we could study, you know, the Bible. And there's thousands of promises, what, that the Lord has laid for us. And as we can see, you know, whether it be any area of life, we can always go to the Bible and search it and apply it to our lives. And everything, you know, what God has promised, what he said he will do it. And as we honor his promises and as we follow his promises, you know, he will guarantee, you know, everything. And as we see here, you know, I guess the question, as we even think about Mary and Martha's life, you know, do we know him? You know, do we fully trust him? And as we see here, you know, even when Jesus entered into this hopeless scenario and this hopeless, you know, sorrow, he does not come with soothing words. No, as we see here, he demonstrated his sovereign power. He demonstrated his hand. He demonstrated, you know, he just didn't make promises, but he did something about the problem. And as we see here, as the problem made it seem so hopeless, it may seem there's nothing else that Mary and Martha could do, but when Christ steps in, as we see, as he healed Lazarus, you know, from the grave, and what an amazing testimony, you know, that Lazarus and that he able to even tell. You know, notice with me in verse 33, and it says, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where had ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Verse 35, Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Now, as we see here, Jesus, you know, sees all the grief. He sees, you know, Mary and Martha crying. And as we see here, you know, even in verse 33, and it says that he groaned in the spirit. And as we say, you know, even, you know, that he was in verse 35, and it says, you know what, Jesus wept. And, you know, he dealt with the very same hardships and trials that even Mary and Martha have dealt with. And as we even think about that word groaned, it means to snort like a horse. No, it means it has an image of indignation and anger. You know, perhaps, you know, Jesus is angry over, you know, the unbelief of those who are weeping. Because, you know, ultimately, you know, hey, he's the one that can help them. He's the one, the true source that can help them in this problem. And, you know, as we see here, even in that, even in verse 35, as Jesus wept, you know, it means to literally shed tears. And I remember even, you know, when I was little, you know, when we ever had Bible quizzes or whatever, what is the shortest verse in the Bible? You know, we can go to this passage here, as Jesus wept. And as we see, Jesus knew that what he was going to do, you know, for, you know, hey, and as we see here, as, you know, by raising Lazarus from the dead, it was a plan that God have already delivered, that God has already set in plan for them. And as we see here, you know, what's the point of Jesus weeping? You know, I think about so many times, you know, as, you know, even throughout trials or even throughout life, you know what, sometimes we shed some tears. And as we say here, you know, what's the point of Jesus crying? You know what, that he cares. You know, that he loves us. No, he's not, you know, some remote, you know, deity. You know, he's not, you know, but he's always here. No, he's always there with us. No, while we go throughout those doors, no, as we go throughout life, you know what, he is always there with us. And as we see here, you know, even in very hopeless cases and very hopeless situations, you know, Jesus is there. You know, notice with me in verse 40, and it said, Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? And look at verse 41, and then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hadst heard me. And I knew that thou heardest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus has spoken, oh man, it's so amazing here. In verse 43, when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And look, amazing testimony in verse 44. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Now you think about what a testimony on how the Lord, you know, delivered in this hopeless situation as Mary and Martha, as they trust him. And we can see, you know, when we place our trust in him, you know, the amazing blessings that we're able to receive. Now, you know, we even think about it. You know, if the Lord can even speak words, you know, if he can even speak, you know, hey, Lazarus, be healed. You know what? He can heal our hopeless situation. Now, if he can even speak, you know, as we even think about Genesis chapter 1, if he could simply speak, the world's to come in existence. Now, if he could even speak, you know, hey, all those trillions of stars, and even the sun, and the moon, and even the waters, and the sea, and the fish, and all the beautiful creatures, and even man, and you know, as he even breathe into a pile of dust, and you know what, created the human race. You know, even if he speak and calmly, the storm waves go away, you know what, he can help us in those hopeless situations. You know what, if he could touch that leper and heal him, you know what, he can help us in those hopeless situations. You know, hey, even if he could walk on the water, you know, even think about Peter walking on the water. You know, as he was walking, you know, what did Jesus tell him? To keep his eyes on him. And every time he looked away or, you know, I imagine being Peter, hey, I want to look all around. And the next, you know, once he started looking away from the Lord, what happens? He begins to sink. And you know what? He can help us in those situations. You know, hey, you know what? He fed, what, the 5,000, what, off of what, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. No, as we see here, even just like Lazarus, as he spoke breath and life into Lazarus, as he was alive again, you know what, he can help us in those hopeless situations. And as we see here, you know, hey, even if Jesus, you know, could conquer sin, what, on a borrowed cross, and defeat death in a borrowed tomb. Know what? He can take care of us. Now he can take care of every situation, every case that we face through, every, you know, you think about so little details, you know, he can take care of them. And as we see here, you know, we have so much to thank him for. Now even right now, you know, where we're at right now, we have so many journeys that we have, you know, went through about life. And some of them may be bad, some of them, hey, you know, for the glory of God, we went through. But as we see here, and as we take a look, even in this passage, you know, let's ultimately remember, you know, to trust him. You know, even in this hopeless case, in this hopeless situation, when we think, hey, nothing else is able, you know, anything good to come to pass. You know what? Let's trust him. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer.